Bonjour à tous, bonjour à toutes, vous êtes sur Radio Emma et aujourd'hui c'est une interview très particulière à laquelle nous allons assister puisque en fait c'est Ron Thal qui est un guitariste qui est en studio avec nous aujourd'hui, Ron Thal qui vient de New York et donc cette interview sera en anglais et traduite par la suite. Hello Ron.
Bonjour et bonsoir mes amis, ça va bien?
Ça va très bien. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for coming.
No, thank you. Thank you very much for having me here. And thank you all, whoever out there is listening. Thank you for listening. I just want to give you a big old hug.
Thank you so much for that. I have a very first question because you are also named Bumblefoot. And I want to know, did you choose Bumblefoot because Goldfinger was already taken?
My parents wanted me to have a difficult life, so they named me Bumblefoot. Bumblefoot is the name of an animal disease, ulcerative pododermatitis. So many, many years ago, it was the early 90s, I was hanging out with my girlfriend. She was in school to become a veterinarian.
Okay.
And we were studying together. And one of the diseases, Bumblefoot. And it was just so silly. So I wrote a song called Bumblefoot. And then a few years later, I ended up getting a record deal. And the first album, I was like, all right, we're going to call this album The Adventures of Bumblefoot. It's going to have this foot flying overhead with black and yellow stripes and a stinger and these big wings and burning buildings below and just like all this, you know. And every song will be named after a different animal disease. Bumblefoot. I just find the weirdest animal diseases. Bumblefoot, orf, scrapie, blue tongue, limber neck, Q fever, strawberry foot rot, all these weird diseases. And then I wrote songs that kind of gave me the vibe of what I pictured when I heard the name of those diseases. So after that record deal, I wanted to get back on the road and get back to my original plan, which is just to be in a band that was a little more normal. Whatever that is. So started my own record label and started putting out the music myself and called the band Bumblefoot and started putting out Bumblefoot albums and playing all around the world as Bumblefoot, doing everything as Bumblefoot. So after, at that point, it was around 1997. So after many years of doing things as Bumblefoot musically, it just became like a nickname. So my real name is Ron, and when I'm in trouble, when I'm getting yelled at by my mother, it's Ronald. Ronald, put that down! Ronald, don't touch that!
That means something.
Yeah.
All right, I said Goldfinger because you are one of the best guitar player ever.
Oh, so God, no.
This has to be said. So what we do usually is that we start these kind of interviews with asking you about your teenage period of life. So we want to know how you were as a teenager.
I was a monster. Let's see. So I was so shy and so riddled with anxiety and depression and just discomfort in my own skin and my own thoughts. It reached a point that I could not go to public school anymore. I just quit. I was like, I can't. I cannot be around other human beings. I'm getting too much from them. It's like just the vibes are too strong. And I love to learn. So actually, I just stayed home and would just read all the time. And I was studying computers and electronics. So at that time, I had a little Commodore 64 computer. Hmm. And I would be programming all kinds of my own little space games using basic language and just these long strings of logic equations. You know, if this plus this, not that, then random this and jump to this line and all that kind of stuff while just really immersing myself in music. Music was my comfort, my safety. It was my medication. It was the way to not just express myself, but also just the way to just relate to the rest of this world. Wow. Music is very strong like that. It's a language beyond words. It bypasses words and gets right to the intention and the meaning and the feeling of what people are saying and experiencing. And that's what music was. It was something that I could receive from other people and I could share back. So really, that's what it was. So I was writing lots of songs. I was playing guitar all the time. And that was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
We'll get deeper into music and everything, but the first thing is like, where were you born and where did you grow up and at what age did you quit school?
I was born September 1969 in a hospital in Brooklyn.
September? So it was your birthday recently.
Yeah, I just turned 97 years old.
Happy late birthday.
Thank you. Merci beaucoup. So grew up in the mid-70s, and in the mid to late 70s, you were surrounded by amazing music. It was the height of wonderful music. Wherever you looked, you were experiencing this phenomenal music. Yeah, I was, say, 5 years old, 6 years old, and so I was hearing this stuff at a very young age. And then I picked up this one album over my neighbor's house, Kiss. I had these guys and these painted faces, like, what is this? And we popped it on, and I could still picture it. I still remember it like it was yesterday. And it was a live album, which back then, there was no YouTube. You had either, you had to go out and experience it, or if you wanted to feel like you were at a concert, the bands would put out live albums. So yeah, Kiss Alive was the album we put on. And hearing the audience cheering and this long drum solo and just the energy that you were getting just from that one sense of just listening. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, that's what I need to do. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. All right, I get it. You know, before that, I thought, you know, you're 5 years old. I'm going to be an astronaut, a policeman.
But yeah, there you're five.
Yeah.
That's
and
amazing.
And I knew it. And by the time I was six, I was on a mission. I had a band that I put together with, you know, an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old. We were writing songs. We were putting on concerts. We were making demos by just taking a cassette recorder and putting it in the corner of the room. We had our little nylon string kid guitars that we would play. And then the drummer had this Bugs Bunny drum set that he got at Sears. And he was 10 feet back in the other end of the room. And that's how we got levels. You know, the drums were louder than our little guitar, so the distance.
Oh my God.
And we recorded the music. And then we would play the music back off that cassette facing another cassette recorder on record. And we would put our faces right next to it. And we would sing along. And that's how we overdub vocals. So we were making demos of our songs. And the songs, you realize you don't need to be taking lessons. You don't need to be doing anything to express yourself. You just use what you have. And that's a lesson that I look back on that I learned and I share all the time with people is all you need is what you have. Never waste your time worrying about what you don't have. You already have everything you need. You are built with endless amounts of creativity where you can just take the things around you and take what you know and what you feel, and that's all you need. So at 6 years old, before I learned about the idea of not having, you just use what you have. So we would write songs about the solar system because we were interested in the planets and we didn't know how to really play yet. So we would just play 3-note songs, not even 3-chord songs, but 3-note songs. Everything was just
not bad already.
That's all you needed. That was it. That's all you needed. And that was it. You know, we would just write songs about the planets because we were kids and that was interesting to us. You know, we didn't write songs about girls and love yet because,
you're,
you know,
five.
Exactly.
What are we talking about?
No, that didn't come until we were like 7.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that was it. And we would put on concerts in our backyard and in the basement. And I remember on show day, we would take the logo of our band and we would have a big, you know, thing that we cut out of paper and have it hanging on the wall, taped to the wall behind us. And we would cut up pieces of paper and make cups of confetti for the audience to throw up at the end of the show.
How did you get all those ideas? That's amazing.
By just watching others that did it. And that's how you get everything, is that someone shares it with you and then you pay it forward.
Wow.
That's it. So, yeah, we were just going by what we saw and then doing it our way.
Yeah.
And giving it back. And nothing changed. 30 years later, instead of cutting up cups of confetti, I had to laugh because I was on stage at this big arena and there's these cannons shooting confetti into the audience. And I remember just laughing to myself, just saying, nothing changed. Nothing is different. It's the same thing I did at 6 years old, at 7 years old, only now we have bigger toys.
You're right.
But it's that simple.
Oh my God, that's excellent. We're going to take a little break, but thank you so much already for what you're saying. We are having you play the rest of the time, but for right now, I would like to dedicate, because he left us yesterday. So this is Alan Toussaint. So, well, again, he was one of the most like amazing composers or piano players in of all times also. And he was like, what, 77 or something?
Like, he lived a good life. He lived a, it was a life well lived. And yeah. That's the other thing we can say. Like, you don't even want to say lived a good life, because we put too much emphasis on what is good and what is bad and how we measure it. It's about having a life well lived, where you experience a lot of things. There are no bad things. There's just unexpected things. There are challenges. And those are the challenges that bring value to life and test you, you know?
Now this is Yes We Can by Alan Toussaint.
Now is the time. Now is the time for all good men to get together with one another. Iron out their problems and iron out their quarrels and try to live as brothers. And try to find peace within without stepping on one another. And do respect to the women of the world, just remember we all had mothers.
Make this land a better land in the world in which we live.
And help each man be a better man with the kindness that you give. And I know we can make it.
I know that we can.
I know done well we can work it out.
Oh yes we can, I know we can.
I know we can make it work.
I know that we can.
I know we can make it if we try.
Oh yes we can, I know we can. Yes we can, great gosh almighty. Yes we can, I know we can.
Take care of the children of the world. They're our strongest hope for the future, the little bit of boy. Girls, and make this land a better land, and the world in the which we live, and help each man be a better man with the kindness that you give. And I know we can make it.
I know that we can.
I know done well we can work it out. I know we can make it work.
I know that we can.
I know we can make it if we try.
Oh yes we can, I know we can. Yes we can, great gosh almighty. Yes we can, I know we can. Yes, we can, I know we can, yes, we can, great gosh.
gosh almighty, yes we can, I know we can.
Yes, we can, Alain Toussaint, and also joined with Ron Thal. So here we're back again with Ron Thal, everybody, guitar player, born and raised in New York City, in Brooklyn, and who started playing guitar at the age of 5. Now, why did you choose the guitar instrument?
Well, originally I wanted to be a drummer.
Oh, really?
But my brother wanted to be a drummer, and he was older, and so I was like, all right, you're going to be the drummer. And then I was like, all right, well, then I'll be a bass player. Cool. And then I went to a music store, and I was like, I want to start taking bass lessons. And they didn't have any kid-sized basses, and the bass was taller than I was, and there was no way. I just did not have the wingspan to be able to play the thing. And so they lied to me. They tricked me. They said, well, in order to play bass, you have to start off on 2 years of acoustic guitar. They just probably wanted to sell a guitar. And so I was like, all right, whatever I need to do. So I started playing guitar. Mm-hmm. I got tricked into playing guitar. Mm-hmm. And eventually I did kind of get bass down. But yeah, just kept on going with it. I forgot about that 2 year thing. It wasn't like, all right, my 2 years are up. I did my time. Give me my bass. Yeah. No,
you were stuck already.
Yeah, I was already doing it. And then you realize that it's not even so much about the instrument. It's about just expressing yourself by whichever voices you have. And mm-hmm. and there's more than one. You have, you know, you sing, you have that, you have a guitar, you have a bass, whatever it is, you have production. You have so many ways of making it happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big studio geek. You know, I was always about, you know, recording and production and engineering and that whole aspect of it. That is an art to itself, and delivering the song and all of that, not just from sonically, but coaching the performance or deciding on the instrumentation and the arrangement and just the whole way the plate of food is delivered to the person that's going to eat it. You know, it sometimes it could be one person, sometimes it could be a team of people making everything just right. What a cool song. That groove.
Yeah,
God.
Right? Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They just don't groove like that anymore. Or people do groove like that, but then you get these people that have the technology, so they overuse it and they quantize and they replace sounds and they take away all the humanity and the imperfection that makes music beautiful. That's a problem with music today. Now I'm going to go on. I need, like, let me get a box to stand on so I can
We're
going
to have a lecture about the Tudis music.
Because we have such amazing technology now for recording. Like, anybody can put anything out there into the world.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is we tend to overuse the technology and we abuse it. We take it to the point that we take away the humanity. We start editing to the point that we edit away everything that's right. Like, we'll take the drums and we'll look at a grid of the beat and try and match it exactly to the beat, but you don't realize it's not supposed to be on the beat. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to lag after it, and it's supposed to have this sway and this flow and all these things that make you feel something. It's supposed to take you somewhere. Otherwise, it's too robotic and mechanical. It is the imperfection in music that makes it beautiful, that truly touches us. You need to embrace your imperfection. That is your character, and that's what makes everything special. Enjoy it. You know, it's the...
I can only agree.
Yeah.
One guy in Argentina once told me, imperfection is perfection.
Exactly.
Because this is what we need. We need, like, stuff, you know, that is not so good to really make it beautiful and to feel the emotions and...
Yeah.
This is why we like also vinyls,
vinyl albums,
you know, because you have like these little sounds here that plays
the little crackles.
Yeah, the crackles.
It sounds like you're listening to music in front of a fireplace.
In a way, you know,
little popping little wood sounds.
Absolutely. So, yeah, now you're 6, 7, 8 and you start to play with your band and everything. And you said music also helped you a lot during your teenage period of life.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Did you have, like, already dreams of, like, being not a rock star, but
I had dreams of being a rock star.
You
did? When I was a kid, because that's what was inspiring me. It's like, I want to do what they're doing. You know, they're giving me something so amazing that I want to be able to do that. You know, and as time goes on, you become more realistic and, you know, it reaches a point where it's like, I just want to be able to eat. That's all. I just want to be able to, you know, get a meal.
Did you always live out of music or did you do like small jobs and stuff?
Oh, I did all kinds of stuff. Well, I started when I was 12 years old. I would paint album covers on the backs of dungaree jackets. And yeah, I was really into art and I would paint. So
nice.
I would do that for $20 a jacket, and that's how I would save up money to buy guitars or little distortion boxes or whatever it is that I needed to get. So I was doing that, and then once I was old enough to get, you know, real jobs. So I remember at 16, I was working at Toys R Us. I was a stock boy at Toys R Us. Oh, wait, no, before that, I was working at a deli. It's called the Ding Dong Deli. And I was just, you know, stocking the shelves, just you know, putting the food on the shelves when they ran out and that kind of stuff and sweeping the floor. And yeah, then I started working at Toys R Us, and I was working at the diapers and butt wipes department. It was, yeah, they had like the baby department. So it was bad. It was like me and all the other long-haired kids would just sit in the back behind the freezers, just drinking things of pear juice. For the yeah.
And, the employee of the month.
Yeah. So I was doing that. But it did reach a point. By the time I was 13, I had already been studying music, seriously, like academically, for a good 6-7 years. So I started giving lessons to people for like $6 a lesson. That built up, and I kept on giving lessons. And then someone I knew opened up a little music store, so I started giving lessons at his store. And then from there was a chain of stores called Sam Ash, and they had the Sam Ash Music Institute. So I got a job there where I was giving guitar lessons and being like a band director, where we take all the students and pick songs for them and oversee it all so that they could put on concerts. And then from there, one of the students, his parents ran a private school from like age 4 to 18, and they didn't have a music department. So I became the, you know, the head of the music department and put together a whole curriculum from music for little kids, just singing little, you know, songs, you know, just, I love you, you love me, we're, you know, that kind of stuff, to a jazz band, a gospel choir, music education, music history, everything.
Wow, okay.
So did that. And then while I was doing that, by this point I was in my early 20s to mid 20s, and then, I would be getting up at like 5 a.m. and tying my hair back, putting on a suit and driving out from New York to New Jersey and doing this all day. And then I would finish up. I would get back at about 6 p.m. and I would untie my hair and braid it up. And then I would go out to Brooklyn and do a gig with my band, like L'Amour or some, you know, one of the places, and get home 2 a.m. 3 hours later,
tying my hair back.
And yeah, so... And, you know, at the same time, I was also doing work as a transcriber for instructional cassettes and, you know, the booklets that would go along with it, with the parts written out. So doing that and still recording and making demos with my band. And by that point, I started, there were compilation CDs of different guitar players, and they started reaching out to me, hey, would you put a song on our CD, you know, along with these people and stuff. So started doing that and doing this all in my own studio, because everything I was doing for myself through the years, as you do it for others. So after I learned, I taught. After I, you know, was engineering and making my own demos, I started recording other bands and producing and doing things like that and collaborating. And as I was putting on my own concerts, I started getting together and, you know, playing with other people as well and doing that. So everything that you learn for yourself, you share with the rest of the world, and it expands out and your world just keeps getting bigger. So as I was doing that stuff, it was really funny. What happened was... someone that I was sort of teaching engineering to, who now is a member of Blue Oyster Cult, and yeah, okay. And he started off as their engineer and then became their bass player. And so he was a student at the school, SUNY Purchase College, like a real legit, you know, music school. It was music, dance, and all kinds of things. And so the guy that ran that music department, he was affiliated with this record label that would make sort of alternate style versions of different things. So they were making these lounge albums of like Black Sabbath and Eminem. So they, through all of that, they brought me in to lay guest vocals on things and play on stuff. And from there, I ended up doing a little workshop and a concert at the school. And the school ended up hiring me as a teacher there. And so I went from being a high school dropout to becoming an adjunct professor.
There you go. See? Yeah. This is the beauty of life.
Talk about taking the long road.
Never wanted to leave school, though.
You know what? And actually, it wasn't the long road because I was pretty much around the same age where it would have happened. But I just did it through a lot of life experience. Although, had I could have done things differently, I would have, and I would have gotten a degree as well and done things that way while getting the experience. But this is how everything worked out. It works out how it's supposed to work out in some odd plan that we don't get until we look back on it years later and say, okay, now I understand why I tripped and fell, because I landed on this anthill that would have eaten this butterfly that took off and created this wind that blew this way and made this happen, where now there is world peace. Like, you know, that
there were like the wings of the butterfly
effect.
Yeah, right.
So yes, everything happens the way it's supposed to. It really does. And even the stuff that seems, you know, where you're scratching your head and like, why me? Why did this happen to me? There is a reason, and you'll find out when you're ready to find out.
Ooh. Yeah. Perfect to make it's a break, true. But that's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, from a suicidal teenage dropout in love with music to becoming an adjunct professor and going on to tour the world, playing in front of 100,000 people and doing all this stuff, and go figure.
Go figure. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Let's figure out with your music now, if you agree, to play something for us. Something maybe that you composed or something you want to sing. Because, oh yeah, you went into singing too.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I was singing for as long as I was playing, because it's just part of the process. Like, to me, it was just about writing songs and making songs. So you use whatever you have. So you sing, you write words, and you sing, and you whatever instrument you have as well, and you do that. And all the bands I grew up on, everyone in the band sang, you know, it was the Beatles and Kiss and stuff like that. My favorite bands were always the ones where you had four people that sang and played and were so identifiable. So I guess either you like the taste or you're not, but it, you know, everything exists for the people that like it. That's the whole thing. So from the beginning, I sang and I wrote songs and I played, you know, with whatever I could play, however I could play. Because ultimately, you only have to be good enough to do what you're doing. Mm-hmm. As long as you do that well. You don't have to be any better than that. As long as you play your own songs well and sing your own songs well, then you're good.
You don't have to be the best.
No, you just have to be the most real and authentic at what you're doing. You just have to be heartfelt and honest. And it's about integrity is what it's about. It's not about a skill level or anything that's measurable on some sort of scale. No, it's about telling your story with authenticity and honesty. And when you're doing that, then you are the best.
Yep.
The best you.
Yeah.
You're necessary. You're needed. There would be a hole in the universe if you weren't there. And you are here to fill that void. And that's what it's about. It's like, that's why we exist.
Absolutely.
We would be incomplete without each of us.
Oh.
It's true.
Interdependency. We all depend on one another.
Yeah.
I agree. Let's play some music. Merci, Philippe.
I could play a song. Let's see. So the name of this song, it's off my latest album. It's called Don't Know Who to Pray To Anymore is the name of the song. So we even talk about some of the things that this song that it was inspired by. Because it's sort of a song about questioning your faith in everything when you're in this angry place where you're sort of just mad at the universe because things have not gone the way you want them to and you're pretty pissed off. 2, 3, 4. Thank you.
upon a time a child grew up too fast, went running wild. Now we don't know who to pray to anymore. I once thought God was good and kind, then Mother Nature blew my mind and left my broken body on the floor. Now I don't know who to pray to anymore. But when the world gets real and I start to feel, the first thing I do is turn to you and then pull away till comes the day where I just can't. Someone's keeping score. I've seen it all. I've seen the lies, false promises for compromise, fought every battle, but still I lost the war. Now I don't know who to pray to anymore.
Wow, thank you. I don't know who to pray to anymore by Bumblefoot. Wow.
I sang that like crap. How should we do better?
Well, you know, for us, it's just perfect.
Oh, thank you.
Really. So we're back again here with Ron Thal. When did it actually change the breaking point, let's say, when it started to become like more official, your position as a musician, playing gigs in front of a lot of people?
You know, it's like a very slow boil, you know, like you don't notice it. It just happens. Like you're playing shows and then more people at the shows and bigger shows, and then you're opening for a national act and there's a bigger audience there. And then you start putting out albums where you start doing tours and yeah.
So now we're going to be back to something more like philosophical, if I can say, because you issued, was there two albums, one called Normal and the other one Abnormal?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about album titles. And it's very interesting because what you work on about normality or mm-hmm. abnormality talks to us, of course, here in the hospital. So the story about someone taking medication in order to get normal, but he loses the inspiration maybe as an artist, is what did it come from? Where did it come from? And what was the idea exactly? And actually, what do you suggest? To stay not normal, but be inspired, or what?
Well, I mean, I've battled anxiety and depression my whole life. I think a lot of musicians do. And that's why we tend to gravitate toward music as our way to communicate. Because sometimes just doing it through words is just too tough. It just is. And then the odd flip side of that is that you end up the exact opposite of what seems to be like your biggest nightmare. It's like, all right, I'm going to jump in front of thousands of people. And
what was the biggest audience you played?
Probably, I think it was like 150,000.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But so that's a big part of it, is just dealing with your own experiences and your own feelings, which can run pretty deep. And I think that's what resonates the most with people, is that stuff. So I think it's more that people that feel that way can express themselves in art, so they do. Where someone that doesn't have as tough a time maybe doesn't feel like they need to express themselves with art as much. So you might find a lot more of it that gets pretty heavy from the people that use their art, whatever it is, whether it's sculpting or anything, as a means to just be part of this world. You know, I was really depressed past the point that I could just get out of it myself. I was, you know, in that spiral and went down the drain and couldn't get out. So I tried the, you know, outside help, and I was on a medicine, and my God, did it help. It really did. It was just, I guess I lucked out where first time, first try, the right dose, the right stuff. Maybe it was a little too high a dose because I was just too happy. I was enjoying. But the thing is, it was almost like someone pressed this pause button on creativity. I remember when I first started taking it, I was like, wow, you know, I just feel different. I have this relaxation. I have this comfort. That's like the best way to feel it. So I remember I started writing the first song for this album that I was going to call Normal. And I wrote the first line. It was like, I just got new medication. And then boom, that's all I could write for a year and a half. I could not move forward. And it was like this button was pressed, and the same button that when I would try and think a bad thought and I would just be walking into a brick wall that I couldn't get past, it was also stopping me from expressing myself in that musical way. But oddly, I was able to do other stuff musically. Like I could still produce, I could still perform, and I could do these things. But when it came to digging into that deep place, that wall was there and I couldn't get there. And it was a long time. And I started, after a certain point, I was like, all right, you know what? I think I'm ready to walk without the leash, and got off it. And I was like, all right, I learned that I can function. I can exist in a happy form that's not like this. So that means that if I am capable, you know, that whole experience of being on the stuff showed me something. It showed me that I am not designed to function in one way, in one capacity. I am not constructed to be a depressed, anxious creature. You know, I am capable of functioning in another way. In fact, I could even choose. You can train your mind to respond a different way. It is a fact. It is an absolute fact that you can physically change how you think and how you respond. It's real. Do the work and you can exercise your brain to not react in the ways that are destructive to you. So I learned from this whole experience, like, you know what? I can be happy. This is possible. You know, it was empowering. It's like, wait, I have the choice of my life and how I can live. It's not easy, but it's not supposed to be. To gain that kind of happiness and enlightenment and enjoyment and to become this person that is this creature that you enjoy being, that takes work. The same way if you want to build muscles, you got to lift those heavy weights. Well, if you want to build happiness, you got to lift those same heavy weights. If you want to get past all of that stuff, think of it this way. Life is one big workout. And that's what happens, is that even when you fail, you get stronger. It reaches a point where you can handle anything. It really gets to that point. The fact that a suicidal kid that couldn't even talk to people is here right now, happy, proves it. So let me be your proof that it is possible, that the things that you dream about as a kid that you want to aspire to be, and then life kicks your ass and you feel broken and that existence has failed you and you failed it and that all of this stuff is just not possible, you're wrong. All you have to do is just change how you think and say, you know what, it is possible, and boom, you suddenly put yourself on a different road. It's that simple. It is actually that simple. And what's interesting is that even with that, that goes into adults that are taking on things that so many times there are people that say, I am so unqualified to be doing what I'm doing right now. I'm a fraud. I should not be doing this. And then someone else will take them aside and say, all right, fake it till you make it. And just everyone else believes in you. They don't know that you're not believing in yourself right now and having doubts. And you become what you tell yourself you do. So what I actually did with those negative experiences, boom, it got me out of it. And I started writing songs again. And I finished up that album real quick. And I think it was probably one of my best albums.
Wow.
So yeah.
The normal or the abnormal?
Normal.
Normal.
Right after that, everything jumped to the next level. And next thing you know, on stage in front of 12,000 people as a guest of a well-known artist, you know, playing. And then next thing you know, just everything started growing and escalating and taking off. Everything was doing better. The producing was doing better. I was writing all this stuff for TV shows and video games, and everything was just moving forward. Yeah. And
beautiful.
During that, I wrote the album Abnormal, which is because life was such this wild roller coaster at this point with so much going on that was so intense. But it was a good, wild ride.
Yeah. Okay, beautiful. We're going to make a little break after that leading to the end of the show, but it's just a dedication. How do you say now? Dedicas.
Mm-hmm. Sure, that
would
works.
You go there? Okay. Anyway, that's the Beatles and Live and Let Die. Because today is the day of opening in France of Spectre, the last James Bond movie. So Live and Let Die by the Beatles.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live.
You know you did, you know you did, you know you did.
But if this ever-changing world which we live in makes you give in and cry, say live and let die.
Thank you.
ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in. So live and let die.
Live and Let Die, The Beatles. Wow. We're going to end up this show, but I want to talk very quickly about your experience with the Guns N' Roses, because you stayed with them like about 8 years
Good
or something.
Eight years.
Yeah, right. So how was it?
A life well lived.
All right. That was short. Thank you. So now. No, did you enjoy this experience? I mean, it was like heavy or something.
It was a very full experience, very intense. I mean, yeah, everything. It was, you know, good stuff, bad stuff, and everything. It was black, the white, and the whole gray middle.
Yeah.
Everything.
Life.
Yeah.
And you started to talk about it before, and it was funny because it's usually the last question I ask. What kind of advice could you give to young people who want to play guitar or be musicians? And I like...
Don't do it! Yeah, No.
It's a shitty business. Stay out of here. No, I think it was beautiful what you said about being sincere, authentic, and like give what you want to give. Right. Oh, yeah. And also what I hear from what you said from your experience, there's nothing without work, no pain, no gain.
Oh, absolutely. It's all dedication, focus, working hard, pay attention to detail, be on time. There's so many things that I can tell you that matter. Deliver more. You know what? Promise more and deliver more. Definitely. Whatever you want to do, just... Truly, dedicate. You don't have to sacrifice as much as you think. Don't live a life of or, live a life of and. Don't feel like you have to do this or that. You can do this and that. You know, you can go to school to be something while working towards doing something else. Like, be multifaceted, have a diverse life with, you know, explore all your interests and enjoy them all and just see where it all takes you. So don't limit yourself, really, is what it boils down to. So, yeah, but a lot of work, yes. Of course, there will be a lot of challenges, but don't let that take away your passion. Like, just keep in mind that that stuff is external. It's on the surface, all the difficult challenges. And internally, it's still you and your love for it. So just remember that. That always stays lit. Yeah.
Beautiful. Is there anything else you would like to play for us?
I should do the song Normal, if I could remember the words.
Oh, yeah.
If I could remember the words, let me see. A one, two.
I just got new medication after years of hibernation. I could walk outside for the first time and let the sunshine touch my head. I never went an hour without mutilating from the inside out. Now everything's fine for the first time. I'm feeling like I'm born again. I try but can't explain it. I say too much. I feel so liberated. Feels like love. It's so nice to be normal. To be normal for a change. I used to stare up at the sky and watch a little worm in my eye. But now everything's fine for the first time. And I forgot the words, cause I haven't sang this song in like so long. A couple of years now. I try but can't explain it. I say too much, and I feel so liberated. Feels like love. It's so nice to be normal for a change. for a change. Oh, oh yeah, it's so nice to be normal. To be normal. Yeah, it's so nice to be normal, but it still feels kind of strange.
All right.
Something like that.
Normal by Bumblefoot.
Cool. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. No, that was amazing. Thank you so much, really, for taking the time of being here, of talking to us this way, and everything you said was so precious. I think it will be very well heard and very well received here.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
No,
thanks so
really,
much.
Really, it was a very privileged moment. That was Ron Thal, Bumblefoot. Thank you for all
much.
Of that. Thank you very much.
Bonsoir, bonne nuit, merci beaucoup, au revoir, bon voyage. Yeah.
Thank
cool.
you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.